Thankful for the prayer that Brother Dwayne offered up. I would ask for continuation of your prayer that the Lord might bless us as we're gathered here in his name, and that whatever we do might honor him and glorify him, and it might be a benefit to us as his people. The thoughts upon my mind are centered around trust today and who we're trusting, and are we trusting the world or we trusting ourselves? Trust means to believe. What do you believe in? Who do you believe in? Trust also means to rely on and to have confidence in. You know, trust is a word that we use so often in our lives, between husbands and wives, parents and children, workers and their bosses, even between the people as a whole and the government. I would say we're living in a time where, when it comes to the government, there's not a whole lot of trust in the government. But it is part of life. Some people say, well, you might not get political, but there's plenty of politics to be spoken of in the Word of God. Go to Judges chapter 9, you'll see one of the most political efforts by a man. You can see the Pharisees and the publicans, and those things take place. And when you consider the country that we're living in and the times that we're living in, it's worth addressing. I know for one fact that there's less and less folks that rely upon those who have the rule and authority over us. Less confidence in those folks, and that's easy to be seen if you look at polls, or you just know your own personal feeling. How much confidence do you have that they're doing the right thing for you, the best thing for you? I don't have a lot of confidence, and I doubt most of the folks here are very strong in that opinion. When you think about trust, you think about faith also. They kind of walk together hand in hand along the way. Hand in hand each day. Faith literally means to, you know, have belief and trust and loyalty unto God. Now, we're talking about faith in God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, I looked at a definition yesterday of faith, and my subject's not on that, but I found it interesting that it said the definition of faith was believing in something where there was no proof. But for the child of God, I declare unto you today, we have been given all the proof we need to know that God exists. Amen. Matter of fact, he declares that there's not a human being that's ever been born that ought not to know that God exists in Romans chapter 1. They're without excuse. The evidence of Almighty God in the creation is all the evidence we need. But we have more than that. The love that you have for one another. God is love. The Spirit that dwells in you, that beareth witness with the Spirit of God that you are his children. We have an evidence within us and also many evidences without. So for those who believe that faith is believing in something where there's no proof, when it comes to the child of God, we believe in something that has declared itself unto us and is very evident. Sometimes we call it the eye of faith. But trust is important. Who we trust in. You know, we want to trust in marriages, and sometimes they fail due to numerous problems, infidelity being one of them, and that's kind of a problem we have in failing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our husband. We are the bride. He is our groom. Bible relates and states many things comparing the church and the Lord Jesus Christ to a marriage. Revelation chapter 2 begins with the church at Ephesus. And he talks about a marriage. Wherefore, you know, he said, I have somewhat against thee, for thou hast left thy first love. Trust is important. Trust between parents and children. Oftentimes, trust is broken in this world. We no longer trust someone. Just like I said, the government. But sometimes we don't trust our friends, our husbands, our wives, our children, for numerous reasons. Lies. Lying is one of the greatest ones. When you begin to tell lies and you figure out that somebody's lied to you, it's hard to have a lot of trust. A lot of trust in those folks, is it not? And yet, I'm surprised at how many of God's people trust in man. The Bible tells us and teaches us different. You know, for every situation and every circumstance that you and I have encountered in life, the Bible preaches and teaches on it. Study on it. It's in there. It's thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, somebody say, well, this ain't in there and that ain't in there. Well, I tell you, it's likely in there. You just hadn't looked, you hadn't studied, and you hadn't found it. Let's begin this morning in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. Very important. Something that we've dealt with for several years, and it has showed us how little trust, I believe, that a lot of folks have in the Lord. They trust in man. They trust in the world, wisdom of the world, in the government, or whatever it might be. Verse 25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. What is a snare? Well, one definition of it's a trap. People have been trapped inside the walls of fear. There's no question about it in my life. I mean, there's just no question. But it means, in its first meaning, means a noose. A noose that you would go to gather an animal up with. What do you do with a noose? You make that animal do what you want it to, don't you? You take away its liberties and freedoms, and you lead it around where you want it to go. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Oh, how true that is. Many of God's people this day are trapped in walls of fear for one reason or the other. It's not just the things that we've been undergoing, but there's other things. But at the root of that, things are trapped. I believe at the bottom, at the root, the fear of death is what brings all the fear into their life. But David said in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. If you're walking hand in hand each day with the Lord, if you're really having the fellowship that God calls upon us to have with him, I honestly believe you'll have very little fear of death. I think one of the most surprising things to God's children is that if you live in a state of fear, you commit a sin on the level of murder. Many things. Read it in Revelations 21 and 8. It's clear. But the fearful, that's how it starts out. And the unbelievers. And the whoremongers. And the idolaters. And the murderers. Wouldn't think unbelieving could be classified with such other sins, would you? But for the child of God, who's trusting in the Lord as he should, who's walking in faith and not walking by sight, it is meaningful. Because the fear of man bringeth a snare. Been more fear-mongering going on the last 2 years than I've ever seen in my life. And there's always been some, but it's been extensive. It's caused a lot of people to fall in that situation or circumstances. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Shall be strong. We got nothing to be scared of. We got nothing to be afraid of. The Lord's with us. Are you walking with the Lord hand in hand each day, hand in hand along the way? God said, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. How many times in our life have we drifted away from the Lord? We need the Lord in the good times and in the bad times. Don't matter what times we're undergoing, we need God's help. I've been brought to a point in my life, and I know many of you have, and I just said, Lord, help me. I don't have the words to say. I don't know what else to say. I just know that I needed God's help, and no one else could help me but God. And all I can tell you is, I continued on in my life. Everything didn't just turn rosy the next morning, but by God's grace, I was able to go on. It doesn't mean it's easy. But I trust in the Lord that he'll be with anyone, no matter who they are, of his people. They're with him. Draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe, shall be strong. We're told by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, we are weak. Paul was weak. When Jesus told Paul in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Have you ever noticed in your life, the weaker you get, regardless of what brought you to that weakness, the more you draw close to God? When you know there's no help outside of God, you wonder why we have the trials and the tribulations of life. Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." I don't like trials and I don't like storms any more than the next person. But I'll know one thing, the deeper the trial had been for me in my life, the closer I walked with the Lord. Because I just felt there was no one else. There was just no one left but the Lord. Over in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, verse 5, it says, "Every word of God is pure." You can take the words of God to the bank. You don't have to agree with them, but it won't change them. You don't have to like them, but it won't change them. Because God's words are pure. There's no impurities in them. You know, we're told about God being light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 said, "Then this is the message that we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." There is no unrighteousness in God. There is no impurities in God. The words of God are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. They're complete. They don't need anything added to them or taken away from them. They're a thorough, or thoroughly furnished us unto all good works. What we stand in need of, regardless of our circumstances, is found in God's word. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me." Our need for the Lord is far greater than most of us ever realized. It is by God's blessing that you breathe every breath you're breathing at the very moment you breathe it. He breathed the breath of life into your nostrils. You became a living soul. And as living souls and as children of God, and we journey through this life, we have hardships, do we not? But you know what's said over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? It said, "I'd not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope." There are people in this life who believe that when you die, and I talked to one of them on an airplane, I'll never forget it, that you just go back to being fertilizer. I tell you what kind of hope would that be? What kind of life would that be? But she was a Jew and worshiped in the synagogue, and that's what she believed. She even told me, "I wish I believed what you did." You know, you want to say, "Well, just believe it." But you know, if you believe, it's because God's put it in your heart to believe, not because you decided to believe one day. It took the same power to resurrect Jesus Christ as it did, same power to make you believe as it did to resurrect Jesus Christ from the dead. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield. Have you ever thought about a shield? What are shields for? They're to protect you. They're to protect warriors. When you go out into this world and into this life, we got a battle ongoing. That battle's with Satan. Satan wants to divide us. Satan wants us to be fearful. Satan wants us to be afraid of everything. He wants to discourage us, divide us, bring despair into our lives. And he's done a lot of that over the last several years. And it's not scriptural. You know, the apostles were afraid. But what I'm talking about is living in continuous fear. That's the sin that's so bad. If you're a child of God and you're born of the Spirit of God and you're that fearful, you're not trusting in the Lord with all thine heart, with everything you have. You know, it's easy to preach sometimes, as old brother Ricky Harker would say, and hard to live, but it's the truth. I will not deny the truth, even if I don't live up to the truth. It is the truth, because there is no impurities in God's word. We believe God's word because of his promises. What keeps us going? We're told over in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Them mansions aren't big homes that God's building up forever for you. He's talking about your body. One day when it's free of sin and the troubles that sin brings, you're going to live and dwell. That temple of clay will be a mansion. And the thing that I like about it says there are many of them, numerous. Bible tells us, as the stars in heaven and the sands of the sea, sure, that no man is able to count those numbers. The multitude to be in heaven, I think, is very, very great. But he says, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you either, over in Hebrews. But he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he went alone. He took your sins and bore them in his own body upon the tree. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I'm at, you may be also. He said, and if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that you may be in heaven with those that have went on before us, and in the presence, most importantly, of Jesus Christ our Lord. It'll be the greatest day of our life. But for us who are alive and remain, Jesus has given us promises. He's given us hopes. And it's important to trust in the Lord. It's very important. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. You know, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Ephesians 6 and 10. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, the devil knows when we're weak. He knows when we're struggling. He knows when there's an opportunity to enter into our lives and bring us to naught if he can. He can't take away our eternal life. You know, he never was allowed to take Job's life, was he? But I tell you, he wrecked his life, didn't he? To me, one of the greatest illustrations in the first two chapters of Job is to show the power of Satan when he gets a hold of us in our lives. God allowed that to happen. And God calls those words under inspiration to be penned that we might learn something from them. Satan is not a joke. He's real. He wants to destroy your life. We're to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm going to move on over and look at some verses in Psalms that speak to this very matter. In Psalms 18, David is beginning to speak about being delivered from his enemies, mostly from Saul, who chased him forever. He was appointed to be king, but it was many years before he actually sat upon the throne in Israel. Saul was jealous because God had rejected him as king. But David was delivered, and in verse 2 it says, the Lord is my rock. The question I'd ask all of us, including myself, is the Lord our rock? What does a rock represent? It represents someone that is immovable. You know, building your house upon the rock, remember that? That your foundation will be strong and cannot be moved. It was those who built their house upon the sand that when the storms of life came, they were utterly destroyed. Paul said over there, sorrow not. He didn't say not to sorrow. We all sorrow and mourn. It's a natural thing. It's a healing process. It's a hard process, but God allows us that. What if we never cried? What if we never mourned? What if we didn't have feelings for those that we love? It just shows you that the love of God is within you because of how you feel for those that have been in your family, in your life. That's the love of God pouring out. It may be pouring out in tears and sorrows, but it is God's love dwelling in you. That's an assurance you have, an evidence that you belong to him. And you have a hope down deep inside you, the Bible says, is the anchor of your soul, the hope of Jesus Christ and living with him one day. The Lord is my rock. He told in Deuteronomy 32 and 4, he is the rock. He's not a rock. He's not like that insurance commercial years ago, the Rock of Gibraltar. He's an immovable rock. He's the only rock, the rock. And my fortress, my defense. Boy, we need a defense in this day and time, do we not? Sometimes we need to defend it from ourselves. We need to defend it from the government. We need to trust in the Lord. Because the Lord is the only one you can absolutely count on every day and every minute and every second of your life. There may be folks you can count on, and that trust may be strong for a while, and then it may fade. It may go away for any number of reasons. He says, he is my fortress and my deliverer. You know, back in years ago when I had my problems, I used to think of Psalms 31 and verse 15, and I still think of it a lot. My times are in thy hand, O Lord. Deliver me from the hands of thine enemies and from them that persecute me. The main thing I get out of that verse is my times are in thy hand. Our times are in the hand of the Lord. We need to recognize that. We need to draw nigh unto God. And God will draw nigh unto us. We need his help. We need his strength. We need his comfort. And we certainly need his hope. It says, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler. Buckler is a shield. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is the resurrection and the life. John chapter 11 tells us. That's what it means. The horn is the power of my salvation. It was by God's power that you became a child of God, not by your efforts. And it'll be by the voice of God that you come out of the grave and be reunited with the spirit and soul and live with him in heaven forever. David said, and the horn of my salvation in my high tower. He said, this is who I'm trusting in. You know, I know during difficult times and during the trials and tribulations of life, sometimes it's hard to see very far. I used to explain it like this: when you're in the midst of the fire, you can't see very far. But when you went through the fires and you went through the waters and the Lord has been with you, you can look back in a due time and you know the Lord is with you. You may not have an answer how you got there, but you know the Lord is with you. That's how it was with me, and I think that's how it was with many. I can attest to that as we go down the journey of life. But that doesn't ease things early on when we're in the fire, as I call it. But Jesus is our only hope for today and the day to come. Read a couple other verses from the 56th chapter of Psalms, I believe it is. It says in verse 4, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That's what fear mongering is. It's a control agent. It's like a noose put upon an animal. And that's what's happened to so many of the Lord's people. They become so fearful. But I tell you, Jesus said he'll be with you until he gathers you with his people in heaven. To that very minute, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Verse 11 says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. We need to trust in the Lord and quit listening to man and the worldly wisdom and things that are being derived out there. It is God who will keep us. It is God who is our protector. David said, it is God who will deliver us. You know, he'll deliver us out of whatever we're going through, whatever ailment or trouble that we have, or he'll deliver us into heaven, a place called glory. Will we be delivered from all the troubles of life? Go on over and read another verse in the 118th Psalms. Verses 8 and 9. And verse 8 said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's what trust is. It's relying on someone. It's having confidence in someone. Is there anyone in this world you have more confidence in than in God? God has never changed. He's never broken a promise. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. One day we're all going to be gathered together. And the sorrows and the tears and the pain, as it says in Revelation 21, the former things are going to pass away. And there'll be no more. And I know oftentimes it's like, if that's going to happen, let it come. I do pray, come quickly, Lord. But, you know, the Lord is with us. The Lord will be with you. He will help you. Verse 9 said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. How much confidence do you have in men, in the wisdom of the world? How much praying do we do about situations and circumstances that we encounter? Honestly, deep, thoughtful, effectual prayer about the things that we're doing. Are they of God's will? Are they of man's will? Of our will? It's something that we need to be more serious about. I know that I do. We go to the 146 Psalms. And read in verse 3. Put your trust not in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. The Son of Man there is not the Son of God that's spoken of in the New Testament. It's the Son of Abraham or of Moses, as you study that out. But basically it just says, we're not to put our trust in any man, but in God. And the scriptures tell us about the things that's going on in life, the things that we should look to, not to man. We should look to God. God has given us in His Word the ability to deal with the circumstances of our life. All those circumstances. You think about trusting in the Lord. Let's read a verse from some verses from Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus saith the Lord. This is not what I said. This is not what I think. This is what the Word of God says. God Himself. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm. When we go to trusting in our own flesh, our own arm, or the arm or the flesh of other men, that's exactly wrong according to God. We're not to trust in that. First of all, he says, when we begin to trust in man, and I think it's happened among the Lord's people a lot in these days and times, it says their heart departeth from the Lord. And whose heart departeth from the Lord? The more you trust in the world, the government, anybody else out there, the more likely it is your heart will depart from the Lord God Almighty. You know, it says in verse 9, we've read this many times, the heart is deceitful above all things. Ezekiel says, by nature we have a heart of stone. But when we consider verse 9 here, it's speaking of the flesh that even the child of God never gets rid of in this life. We'll be rid of it in heaven. That's why we'll be a mansion. But in this life, we won't rid ourselves of this sinful flesh. It says that man is cursed, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, a worthless plant, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. You know, God can make you feel that you're living in a desert when you're living among people in this world. When we trust in this world, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be fearful. We're going to lose our hope. It says in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Where is your hope? For whatever's ailing us, where is it? For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This talks about somebody that's walking hand in hand with the Lord. Somebody that's trusting in the Lord with all thine heart and leaning not to their own understanding. You know, I can't tell you why things happen in life. We know over in Isaiah 55, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I don't have an answer. I just don't. But I tell you, God is righteous. There's no unrighteousness with Him. He's right in all His ways. But He gives us some great promises. I want to read from Isaiah 43, and I think this is important for all of us. Verse 1 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. We're not to fear eternal death, eternal separation from God, because he redeemed Israel. And we know that in the New Testament, a Jew, any child of God, is a spiritual Israelite, spiritual Jew. I have called thee by my name, thou art mine. You belong to him. He paid for you with his precious blood. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. You know, I know a number of us have experienced that in our lives. Unfortunately, when we go through one storm, it doesn't mean there'll never be another. I get tired of the storms, but you know, God is a God of great logic. I've lived here for going on 64 years. I've seen tornadoes. I've seen hurricanes. They never stop, do they? Sometimes they're really bad. Sometimes they're not so bad. But those storms just keep coming. And the storms, from a spiritual sense, that you and I will face will continue until we close our eyes in this place called earth, and they're open in the presence of Jesus Christ. But the promise and the hope we have is Jesus will be with you through the worst difficulties that you can imagine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. What more could we ask for? He keeps us from drowning, from being overflowed, if you would. From drowning in sorrow to the point that we can't go on. Or whatever our trouble may be. I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. You know, I've got in a deep river and a strong current. It'd be pretty easy to get overflowed, but he's talking about storms, spiritual storms in our life from a spiritual standpoint. He's making that known by natural things. And he says, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Think about it. Are we trusting in the Lord with all our hearts? We need to be, because life is not easy for any of us. You know, we wake up one day to surprises. Somebody in this world wakes up every day to those surprises. And it's only by God's grace that when we are weak, He is strong and we have hope. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He says, trust in the Lord in Isaiah 5, and we'll close. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means to quit trying to figure out why all these things happen. We're not going to figure them out. We're just to put all the trust that we have and all the confidence and belief we have in God and to rely upon Him to take care of us and to carry us. I love that poem with the footprints, or that when you read it. There's times in our lives that there's only one set of prints. It's because the Lord is carrying you. It's because we never fall below the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Never will we fall below the everlasting arms of Jesus. Lean not to thine own understanding. I don't understand why things happen. I don't understand why we're going in the direction we're going. I try, but sometimes you get bogged down in thought and it leads you to places. Just trust in God and hope in God and try to follow His word. He said, I'll be there. Draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you. Understand, He didn't say, I might be there. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. We need help now, all of us. For one reason or another, we need help. Desperately need help. And there's no one we're going to find to help us outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus did tell us in Matthew 25, when you've done things unto the least of these my brethren, paraphrasing this, you've done it unto me. So when we help folks that are struggling, when we rejoice with them that are rejoicing, we're to mourn with them that mourn, we're to be there. That's why we're to assemble together as God's children. That's the strength of the church. Because God knew we were going to go through all these difficulties. Things are hard to handle. Hard to bear. And He leaves us with a promise. And I love the shalls. He said, whosoever putteth their trust in the Lord shall be saved. Do you know what shall means in the Bible? Without possibility of failure. That's why we know when He said He shall save His people from their sins, He did it. It's not according to whether you accepted Him. It's not according to anything. It's according to what Jesus Christ did. But here He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Is Jesus Christ a part of your life, at work, at home, at a meal? I mean, every day. Do you get up with Jesus and go to bed with Jesus? I know that sounds like a lot of Jesus, but I'm telling you, we need a lot of Jesus right now. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall, no doubt about it, direct your steps, direct thy paths. I tell you, we need, as God's people, we need direction. We need God's help. I encourage you to trust in the Lord, because we have no one else that we can count on, not like the Lord. He's there for us every day. His promises are never broken. The hope that we have in Jesus is the pure anchor of our soul. It's the only reason we can continue to go down the road, because there's a lot of obstacles in this road. There's a lot of bumps, and some of them are hard to get over and get beyond. But by God's grace, I believe we'll get beyond them, because Jesus is with us and always will be.